We're in a series this month called Where Is Your Faith? And so we're going to be covering a lot this morning about faith, but I'm going to pray before we get into the Word. Lord, I ask you would speak to us, challenge us today, speak to our hearts, Lord, just encourage us, strengthen us by your Word, Lord, help us grow in our faith, help us grow deeper in our relationship with you, Jesus. And I thank you that your Word is a seed that is sown, Lord, and I pray that it would produce much fruit in all of our lives, Lord. So, Lord, I just ask you that you would just speak to us. Have your way in this place today. Thank you for your presence that's so strong here. And, Lord, I pray that you'd continue to rest on this place today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Like I said, we're in a series called Where's Your Faith? And if you don't know, my day job, I work nights right now, but I'm a police officer. And so it's a different outlet of ministry. For sure, I'm very active in the community, and I see a lot of things. I get to go to a lot of calls, a lot of emergencies, and a lot of teenagers, and a lot of nonsense, and all kinds of stuff. The other day, even, like, someone called 911 because there was a possum in their house, and they needed a police officer to come get it, and guess who got that call? luckily, they had already, like, swept it into a box by the time I got there, and so they just, like, I got there, and they just handed me a box with a possum in it, and so I just let it out down the street and went on about my business. But as a police officer, I do a lot of investigations. You know, anything from a missing person to a missing vehicle, shopliftings, all kinds of stuff. We were trying to find out the who, what, when, where, why, all those things. And I thought today would be an interesting day to do an investigation on our faith. And so I'm going to be asking us those questions in relation to our faith. And so the first one is, we're just going to dive right in. It says, who? Who do we have our faith in? Do we have our faith in the Lord? Do we have our faith in our spouse? Do we have our faith in a best friend? Are we codependent? It's okay to be codependent as long as you're codependent on the Lord, you know? Or do we have our faith in that one relationship? Like, if that person wasn't there, my whole life would fall apart, you know? And Jesus said it like this in Matthew 7, verse 24. He said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. When you put your faith in the Lord first, you are like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. Now, I find that when my faith is in the Lord first, from that relationship with the Lord, all the other relationships come into alignment. I'm a better husband when the Lord is first in my life. I'm a better father when the Lord is first in my life. I'm a better friend when I put God first in my life. But if that order is out of line and I begin to elevate my spouse above the Lord, or I begin to elevate it's so easy to make your children a priority with my family and my daughter, other people over the Lord even. I mean, I went on vacation with my family, and my daughter's 2.5 now, and it wasn't a vacation. She had a great time, but I was fighting for my life, okay? I never felt more, okay, so like we went to Florida, and I wanted to take her fishing. She wanted to go fishing. And so I'm a good outdoorsman, good at fishing, all the stuff, but we took her with her little Dora the Explorer fishing rod, and I have never felt so much pressure to prove myself as a man my entire life, because I'm sitting there like, all right, this fish better bite or I'm going to be a terrible father. So, but we caught 3 fish, and she was happy. But what I'm saying is when our relationships, when we get the who out of order, it doesn't work out well, because we'll be striving and we'll be fighting against the order of God. But when you're in the right alignment and your faith is in God first, from that relationship, everything else flows from it. You're a better friend. You're a better coworker. You're a better husband. You're a better father, better mother. The next one is what. What is your faith in? That's different than who. What? It says faith is the substance of things. Oh, sorry. Hebrews 11:1 says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I know a lot of people who put their faith in other things other than God. They put them in their job. They put them in the lottery. I know a lot of people who've got faith in more faith in scratch-offs than they do the Lord sometimes, you know. They put their faith in their own ability, their own skills, their own talents, their own. Because I'll tell you, like, I've been involved with large churches. I've been involved with small churches. And there are people who are leaning on their own ability instead of their faith in God to actually do ministry. And it never works out well. It might look good on the outside. They might have a lot of people there. They might have all the lights, all the popular things that they might be viral on TikTok, but for all the wrong reasons. And nowadays in America, we mistake popularity for influence, okay? And so a lot of times people can grow in popularity but not be influential. And you can even be influential but not but heaven doesn't know your name. The demons don't know you, you know? If hell doesn't know you, then what? You know, they're not. They're like, oh, sure, let him do his thing. He's just, you know, he ain't bothering us. He's not really impacting the kingdom of darkness or whatever. He's not really. So I know a lot of people who put their faith in their own talents and their own abilities. So don't, when it comes to the what is your faith in, don't put your faith in. You can say, Lord, thank you for the gifts you've given me. And you just, like the 24 elders before the throne of God, when they're casting their crowns before the Lord. How do you think those guys got to know, Lord, this crown isn't something for me to use to my own advantage. This crown isn't something that I could gain my own glory from, Lord. I choose to lay this crown back at your feet and cry out, holy, holy, holy. So every gift we've been given, every talent, every skill, every quirk in our personality that makes you you is not just for you. It's for his glory and it's for his purpose and it's for his kingdom. And it's only going to be beneficial. It's only going to be influential when it's submitted to the lordship of God. And that happens through faith. We've got to put our faith in the Lord first. When are we exercising our faith? When? You're like, well, Ben, all the time. Really? When it just benefits us? When we get to the end of our own capability? Is that when we start putting our faith in God? When do we only put our faith in God when it comes to emergencies? When catastrophe strikes, when we can't go on anymore, we're like, Lord, I need your help. And that's totally fine to cry out to the Lord in time of need. He asks us to. However, the Lord wants to be intricately and intimately involved in every aspect of our lives. He wants to walk with us in the good times and in the bad times. It's not just, hey, the Lord's not just a firefighter who just shows up when the house is on fire, right? He wants to dwell with us. He wants to cohabitate with us. He just doesn't want to visit. James 2, verse 14 through 18 says this. It says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself if it doesn't have works, it is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. See, we demonstrate our faith every single day by our daily works. And it's not just work is such a negative term nowadays, but every relationship that doesn't take a little bit of effort on both parties. And the Lord has done his part. You know, he shed his blood. He died on the cross. He rose again in 3 days. He took the keys to death, hell, and the grave to give us eternity so that we can have a relationship with him today. And when I say works, it means those little things that we do every day. When we wake up in the morning, are we thankful that the Lord woke us up? Do we spend time in his presence on a daily basis? Do we spend time in his word on a daily basis? When are we exercising our faith? I don't know if I've told this story before, but one of my former pastors, he was on an airplane and he sat next to a guy who's had a Lakers jersey on. And the guy was like, oh, I think they were coming back from like LA or something. And the guy doesn't know he's a youth pastor. So the guy in the Lakers jersey is like, oh, yeah, I was partying out in L.A. We had so many girls, all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. He's like, yeah, it was awesome. He's like, what do you do? He's like, I'm a youth pastor. And he's like, oh, nice, I'm a Christian too. And the youth pastor's like, really? He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he starts to challenge him on his antics while he was in L.A. And the guy's like, man, me and Jesus are cool. It's all good, man. Jesus loves me. And he's like trying to explain to him. And then all of a sudden, it like the Lord just pops in his head. And he asks the guy in the Lakers jersey, he's like, so how long have you been playing for the Lakers? He's like, what? Yeah, you got your Lakers jersey on. Were you at practice? Did you have a game this weekend? Like, what's it like playing for the Lakers? He's like, no. I don't play for the Lakers. I don't play for the Lakers. He's like, dude, you have the jersey on. You must like ball. Come on, man. Do you have a shoe deal? Like, what's it like? I know LeBron just left. What happened, man? Like, what's going on? And the guy's just like defiant. He's like, look, I don't play for the Lakers. And he's like, yes, and you're not a Christian either. You just bought the T-shirt and act like you're on the team. And how many people just bought the T-shirt at Foot Locker? They got the jersey on, acting like they're part of the team, but they don't go to practice, right? They're not taking a salary from the team. They don't show up. They don't play. They're not even on the bench. They just bought a jersey and thought they were good. They thought they were on the team. So we've got to be exercising our faith on a daily basis, and it doesn't come from just words. It comes from action. Our faith should, like it says right here, show me your works and I'll show you my faith by my works. My faith will lead to good works. Our faith really compels us to do things that we normally wouldn't do. I've been on several mission trips in places I would never go if I had not been there to preach the gospel. You think I want to hang out in Skid Row in LA? Crazy. I've been all over the world, and by far, Los Angeles is the worst I've ever seen. Like, I've been to, like, small gypsy villages in Romania where, like, they got leaky roofs and stuff. I've been to the slums in Nicaragua and the Dominican Republic where all they have is a 10-by-10 hut. And I've never seen the attack of the enemy on a human being like I have in L.A. But L.A. was not my first choice to go to. The Lord called me to go there. And so we get... The Lord will, your faith in the Lord will prompt you to do things that you would not normally do. And that's from simple things as being kind to that coworker that nobody really likes. And for good reason, because let's face it, they're the worst. But the Lord prompts us to be kind to people, to bear the fruit of the Spirit. So we're called to demonstrate our faith by our works, at home and all over the world. The next one is where. Where I exercise my faith matters. And this is, everybody knows this verse. It's Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This is where my faith goes into action. If I can just be a Christian in my bedroom at home, we're not living the fullness of the life that Jesus died for us to live. Because what happened right after Jesus, he gets resurrected, and then he spends time on the earth in his resurrected body with his disciples, and then he ascends into heaven, and right before he does that, he says, well, it's a great commission. He says, go into all the earth and preach the gospel, making disciples of all nations. Well, I'm not called to be a missionary. Yeah, like, you're called to go to work, right? We're called to be parents. We're called to be brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think, like, we like to complicate it. Please do not go to work tomorrow morning and stand up on a chair and start preaching fire, hell, and brimstone and say, repent because Jesus is coming back tomorrow. Don't do that. Okay? The best thing you can do as a Christian at work is show up on time. Do your job. Do it well, to the glory of God. And if at all, if it be up to you, be at peace with all men. You see, our light shines differently. People notice when there's a believer who's walking in who they're created to be. People notice. You walk in a level of kindness that other people don't walk in. You walk in a level of humility that other people don't walk in. And it can be something as simple as holding the door for somebody. It can be as simple as, hey, you dropped something, let me help you out. Or waiting another 5 seconds to walk with somebody out to their car who feels like they don't have any friends at work. But we like to complicate it. We like to think that we got to, like, have a microphone in our hand to do ministry. No. It's the opposite, actually. More ministry should be happening off a platform than ever happens on at work either. I'm not talking about just going and laying hands on everybody at work either. But if you can, like it says here, let your light shine before all men, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. He didn't say let your Bluetooth speaker blast as loud as it can until everybody can hear what you have to say. There's a reason he said he used light right there. Because light travels faster than sound, one. And two, it's observable. You can see it. You can see it by action. You can see it demonstrated. And when they see your good works, they won't even, they'll just, glory to God. I've had several people over the years. I used to work as a valet when I was in Bible college. And this particular valet company I worked for, they hired a lot of people from my Bible college because most of us were good workers. But I had several people come to me while I was working, and they would say, hey, Ben, I'm really going through something right now. I was like, dude, why are you coming to me? He's like, because I know you're one of the real ones. Have I had a conversation with this guy like this ever before? No. Had I ever, like, told him needed Jesus in his life? No. But he knew by my actions, he knew by the light that I carried, that I was a believer, that I walked in the fullness of the power of the gospel. And when he was considering doing something like committing suicide, he knew who to call on. He didn't just call on Jesus. He called somebody who knew Jesus, who really looked like they knew Jesus. And he said, hey, man, I want you to pray for me. And I prayed for him. And it was simple as that. But had I not been walking in that light, had I not been shining that light, he would have never known to come to me. And I think that's how it should be. Like our light should be attractive. The Spirit of God should draw people to us, you know? If our ministry is repelling people, I think we need to reevaluate it, you know? And our why. Who, what, when, where, why. We're investigating our faith this morning. Why? Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. All of us want to please God. We all want to honor the Lord. We all want to please him. And we've got to come to him with confidence, knowing that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I've been diligently sought. I've diligently sought God for my own personal gain. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about diligently seeking the Lord for the sake of seeking the Lord. Not for what I can get from him, not because I want him to anoint me and make me all impressive at church and stuff like that. Lord, I want to seek you because I want to sing better, or I want to preach better, or I want to lay hands on the sick and see him recover. I want to be a better minister, blah, 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 blah. No, he wants to know that we're seeking him for just the simple pleasure of seeking him and being in his presence. That's who he rewards. And his reward looks totally different than, it's not a game show where if you make it to the last round, you win $1 million. Most of the people never see their reward until they cross over into eternity. And when we realize it, the real reward for us diligently seeking him is him. And his presence. And that you can't purchase his presence. You can't conjure up his presence. You can't manifest his presence on your own. The Lord responds to those who diligently seek him. So I want to do something right now. Let's all just bow our heads and close our eyes, and I want us to just do a self-investigation for a moment. As we close, and I'm going to ask you these same questions. Who is your faith in? Is it in yourself? Is it in other people? And just let the Holy Spirit work. What is your faith in? Ask the Lord, have I put my faith in something else other than look toward? Have I created an idol in my life that I look towards, that I lean on more than you, Lord? Lord, when am I placing my faith in you? Is it just when it's convenient for me? Is it just when I have nowhere else to go? Or am I calling on him daily? And where are you exercising your faith? Is it just on social media? Is it just at church? Or are we putting our faith and our light under a bushel? Or are we letting our light shine before all men so they may see our good works and honor our Father in heaven?